Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Yep, he's done it again, folks.
Oh, no, not again. Oh, my. Oh, my. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Named to Talkers Magazine's Heavy 100 for the third year in a row.
It's not the first time. It won't be the last.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for staying with me today. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. I promise it's going to be like a dream come true. My website is www.smallbusinessadvocate.com or jbsba.com or jimblasingame.com. Either one of those will get you to a little bit of small business heaven, and you can listen to thousands of archives and read thousands of articles and check out our hundreds of Brain Trust members, and you can subscribe to my free newsletter. Thank you to all of you who did that recently, and especially to all of you who write the nice notes about how much the newsletter is helping you. And don't forget to check out the blog. Jim's blog is on the website, or you can go directly there at jimsblog.biz. Rich Galen is our guest and a longtime member of our Brain Trust. He is of the Republican persuasion on the political spectrum, just in the interest of full disclosure. He's the publisher, the writer, the editor, the janitor, and the accountant at Mullings.com, the thrice weekly, except in August, cyber column. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Thank you, my friend. How are you?
I'm doing great, except in August, right?
Exactly. This is the last week that I have Tuesdays off. So starting next week, I'm back to work on Tuesdays.
So it's going to be back to the grindstone next week,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You know, it's interesting. Everybody who's in a small business, you know, you're never away from the business. You're always in it, thinking about it, or
that's
doing
right.
Something, or paying something, or trying to get paid by somebody, which is at least half the battle. And for August, instead of writing 3 days a week, I just decided I was only going to write Mondays for Monday and Friday, which means I write Sunday night and Thursday night for Monday and Friday delivery. And the amount of extra time I have because I'm not writing on Tuesday nights has really been extraordinary. I kind of watch old movies.
You're not getting lazy on me, are you, Rich?
I am indeed. The idea was, we've talked about this off the air, the reason for doing it was supposed to be so I could go through I've written about 1,200 of these Mullings columns over the last five or six years. And I was going to go through them and pick out some of the best lines from the columns. The problem is you got to read them all again to get to the best lines. So I am almost through. The first year was 1998. I'm in August 1998.
You better hustle.
Hey, I'm going to have to hurry.
Have you been hearing people trying to blame all the new hurricanes, all the extra hurricane activity we've had? Have you heard people trying to blame that on global warming?
Oh yeah, because I live in Washington D.C. and you know half the town is Democrats, which thank God because that gave me a career. But the I know you wrote a column about a month ago, and I wrote for this morning about the fact that a huge proportion of real live, no kidding around, non political climatologists and meteorologists don't believe that there's any evidence of any magnitude to support the theory that man-made global warming is affecting any of this stuff. In this month's Discover magazine, which I love because I call it science in single syllables, there's an interview with the preeminent hurricane expert on the planet, a guy named Dr. Bill Gray, and he said, you know, if that's true, then we have a slightly higher than average hurricane activity in the Atlantic Basin, but it's lower than average in the Pacific Basin and in the Indian Ocean. So how can that be?
Well,
is there something special about it, the Atlantic Basin?
Well, it's obviously George Bush's fault.
Yeah, that's going to be the next thing you watch. Before it's over, there'll be some dope from Louis. Probably Senator Landrieu from Louisiana is going to say that this is all George Bush's fault.
Right, absolutely. I think that the Earth is warming. It has been warming for 10,000 years. 10,000 years ago, Kentucky was under a glacier.
Yeah, that's right.
Exactly right. It has been. We are in a period of global warming.
That's what I read. That's what one of the things I wrote. Our friends on the other side, my friends on the other side, I won't blame you for this. My friends on the other side, I wrote, if President Bush would only sign the Kyoto Protocols, we'd be worrying about an ice age by Columbus Day.
Right, exactly. Well, there's to me, I think we have to differentiate global warming from Kyoto. I mean, just because even if you could make me believe, and I can't say with it beyond a shadow of a doubt that humans haven't influenced and created some element of global warming and haven't changed the environment. I know they've changed the environment, but haven't changed the weather patterns and the heating of the earth. I'm not saying that humans. I can't say humans haven't done that. But what I can say is that whereas global warming may not be junk science, Kyoto is junk policy.
Yeah, absolutely. And even I wrote a column a couple of years ago when the environmentalists were on President Bush's back again for not supporting it, which, by the way, neither did Bill Clinton, but we forget.
Right.
I said that even supporters admit that it's really for psychological purposes, not scientific purposes.
Hold on to that thought, Rich. When we come back, we're going to wrap that up. And then I want to ask Rich about the Iraqi Constitution. What does he think about the progress that they're making over there? 22. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
The things we've done together, oh, while our hearts were young. Every time you kiss me, I'm still not certain that you love me. Every time you hold me, I'm still not certain that you care.
Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate, and Rich Galen is our guest. He's the outstanding writer of Mullings.com, the thrice weekly now. Thank God. I'm glad you're back to three times a week, Rich, because I miss it. I just need your three times a week fix. And so anyway, I'm glad that you're getting back on schedule. And that's Mullings.com. Folks, I encourage you to subscribe to his outstanding publication. It'll come to you by email three times a week now. And if you're not of the Republican persuasion, you want to tune in. I tune in not only to get his perspectives on politics, but also just to see what he's up to. And especially Democrats need to be doing that. Rich, to wrap up on global warming in Kyoto, I just want to say that the quickest way to make America, the American economy, be an almost exact mirror to the success, the 1.5% growth a year success of Europe, which would mean that we would fall off the table more than half of our current growth would be for us to sign and then fully comply with Kyoto.
Yeah, and the big problem with Kyoto, and without getting too far into the weeds on this, is that India and China are exempt.
That's
because,
right.
Because who knows because why? And when because, we looked at gasoline prices, one of the principal reasons for the, I mean, now, of course, this week, of course, it's spiking because of the storm. But one of the big reasons that it's gone up $20 or $30 a barrel is because of the enormous growth of the Chinese economy. So if that's true, that means that the Chinese are using an awful lot of gasoline, which means they're putting an awful lot of, you know, hydrocarbons into the atmosphere, and they should not be exempt. So let's go revisit the whole thing, and we'll see you in 10 years when they redo.
Well, the methodology, the logic behind China and India being exempt is because they're developing nations. It wasn't just those two countries. Any developing nations were not required to comply. But, you know, the thing we need to point out.
Senegal ain't going to make much difference.
That's right. But that was the logic that they used. But you know, people are blaming George Bush because he won't sign the Kyoto Accords. When it was brought before the Senate, when Clinton was in the White House, the Senate was like, what, 50-50. It was, you know, it was just basically split down the middle from a political standpoint, and the vote was 98-0 against.
Yeah, right, exactly. Yeah, nobody thought it was a good idea.
So, you know, let's move on to something else, all you folks who would like for us to comply with Kyoto. Rich, let's move over and talk about something that's in the news right now, even more so than global warming, and that's the Iraq Constitution. Tell us where it is right now.
Well, as of this morning, the three major groups, the Kurds, the Shiites, and the Sunnis, the Kurds and the Shiites have come up with a document that they can agree to. The Sunnis are holding out for whatever they're holding out for. Remember, when there was the election this past January, the Sunnis, to a great degree, decided not to participate on the theory that without their participation, the world would not see it as a legitimate election. Well, they were wrong. So they had to literally come crawling back to the table and say, okay, can we come in, please? And they said, sure, come on in, we need you. Now they're doing the same thing again. They're saying, well, without us, you can't have a constitution. And the other two are saying, yeah, watch this. And what will happen, remember, this is where the art of haggling was invented. in Baghdad.
Right.
I mean,
in
this
the cradle,
is where
the cradle of humanity,
the cradle of negotiation mm-hmm. over whatever is started here, and it is not in their nature to negotiate and then give up. It's in their nature to negotiate.
But you know, Rich, I saw something the other day that I loved it. It's the only time I ever liked hearing somebody talk about a legal action. The Sunnis didn't like something about the Constitution, and they were going to sue. I saw that reported the other day, and I thought, you know what? That sounds a lot like democracy to me.
It's working. Well, but it is democracy. I mean, you know, I wrote a column a couple of weeks ago about how from the time we declared our independence in July of 1776 until we finally got an operating and functioning constitutional government, which was 1791. So it took a lot. I mean, even,
right.
you know, we didn't have anything to go on, but we didn't have anything to not go on either. So the fact that we're asking the Iraqis to do this within 15 months, when we took 15 years, says a lot. But the other side of it is they're not shooting at each other. I mean, they're actually in there and they're yelling.
So do we have a constitution or not?
They will submit something this week.
Did the parliament not reject it, though, over the weekend?
If they did, I missed it.
They didn't. It was brought up, and I don't think it passed. I'm not exactly sure how they do that over there. But I guess what I'm getting at is, what do we actually have right now? Do we have a constitution, or do we have a document that we're still working on?
No, both of those are true. Well, they're operating under a proto-constitution called the Transitional Administrative Law. They have a document that they're trying to tinker with to get enough votes to get passed. But when it gets passed, all that does is allow the government, the transitional government, to present it to the Iraqi people for a referendum, which is supposed to happen about mid-October. So this is a bunch of stages, and you know, to look for one thing and say, okay, that's done, is really kind of missing the context, because all that's happening now is trying to get together a document that the government thinks it can take to the people, hold a referendum. And then if they hold the referendum and it passes, then they'll vote on a permanent government, which will happen again next January.
What is the October date? That's
I think it's October 15th.
That's the referendum?
Yeah.
And who will vote that day?
Oh, that's everybody, the same people who could have voted.
All Iraqis will vote October 15th.
Will get to vote on it again.
To ratify the Constitution that they have.
And the danger the Sunnis are facing is that they will again try to boycott it.
Right.
And the rest of the country will say, fine.
Right. Stand by. Quick break. When we come back, we've got more to come after these messages with our good friend Rich Galen. Stay with us. Tintel.
Something here inside cannot be deep.
It's getting near dawn. We're back at 7:02. I'm Jim Lessingame, the Small Business Advocate, and I want to remind you that when the next time you hear me on the air, I will be in Houston, and then the day after that, I will be in New York City. So I'm going to be on the road for a couple of days. So if it sounds different, it's because it is different. Rich Galen is our guest, and don't forget to subscribe to his free newsletter. His letter comes every 3 weeks. I'm sorry, three times a week, mullings.com.
Every
and,
3 weeks, I'd never write it.
You wish, don't you, Rich?
No, I'd never do it. I know myself pretty well. If it was only once every 3 weeks, I'd just never get to it.
You gotta do it regularly.
Exactly.
Rich, today is the birth date of John Locke, who was the English philosopher who had such a great influence on America and on the development of our Constitution.
Right.
Locke argued that governments were formed to protect the right to life, the right to freedom, and the right to property, and that those rights were absolute, belonging to all of the people. That's what you and I enjoy. That's what Americans enjoy. Other people helped us get this and have all along the way. Why isn't that something that we owe to give back to anybody around the country, around the world, who want that kind of those kinds of blessings? Why isn't it our obligation to do that?
No, I think that's what President Bush is. I mean, I think he believes that, you know, in every cell of his body, that's exactly what we do owe. You know, the big change, the Lockean theory, the huge shift that it presented was granting power to the people, as opposed to the European model, which was granting power to the monarchy, who then chose to grant whatever addition, whatever powers to the people that they wanted. Locke said, no, the power derives the other way, from the people on up, not from the monarchy on down, which was such a stunning idea that it took an 8-year, 9-year war to get it to fruition.
To those who much have given, much is expected.
Yeah, and I think for the although the polling numbers are down, and I think one of let me get into politics just for a second, that one of the differences, I think, between this administration and almost every other administration of my adult lifetime, Republican and Democrat, is that President Bush truly believes that he is going to do what he believes to be in the best interests of the United States long term, which includes doing exactly what you said, bringing freedom and democracy to any country that is truly interested in achieving that. And if the polling numbers go down occasionally, as they are now, so be it. He thinks that over time he'll be proved correct, and I agree with him.
Well, the reason I think the polling numbers are down is because all we're getting is the negative. We're not getting anything like the stuff that I get from June Reed, who's one of the people who took your place when you left Iraq and who's still over there. Who's over there doing good things and helping these people create a new future for Iraq?
Yeah, and
we're not
and
getting any of that. We're not hearing any of the good news. Why are there? It looks like to me that we should be getting some kind of. We owe it to our men and women who are over there doing these good things to get that kind of reporting out.
It is in the nature of the human condition. I won't blame this on the news media because they are commercial enterprises and they do what's right. I mean, what's right for their stockholders and for their people. We would not have wall-to-wall coverage of New Orleans, Louisiana this morning if it was going to be a nice day.
Mm-hmm.
It's news because it's odd and typically bad odd, not good odd. The notion of the amount of coverage that's been devoted to that young woman who in Aruba is, beyond any reasonable level. But people are interested in it, so they'll keep covering it as long as people are interested in it. So, but in this case, I think you're right. In terms of a war, there ought to be, and the news media, I think, is beginning to take a look at the way they're covering this. And I think they are beginning to understand that there are a lot of other things going on other than, a couple of thousand insurgents blowing things up willy-nilly.
Right.
And they understand that nobody can stop that. You couldn't stop that in Alabama.
That's right.
You couldn't stop it in Washington. I mean, if somebody doesn't mind killing themselves, they can walk into any Walmart and blow the damn place up. And how are you going to stop it? You can't.
Rich, I got 30 seconds. I want to ask you a quick question. What is your opinion of the percentage, the chances of Iraq winding up with a successful constitution that will work and that is will something that we would be reasonably happy with, meaning that it's provides freedom for everybody, women too. And what do you think the chances are?
Oh, I think the chances are very close to 100%. I think they're going to do this. It's going to get done. It won't look like something that we would do in Tennessee, but then again, we're not talking about Tennessee. I'm very confident that this is going to work.
And what are the chances of a civil war?
I would say that they're quite low, but, who knows? We had one.
Yeah, exactly. Thanks, Rich, for being here. Good job today.
Thank you, my friend.
See you next time. Rich Galen, ladies and gentlemen, Mullings.com, MULLINGS.com. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. I'll see you when I'm in Houston.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.